Okay, long time. Perik Yitzayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayimloch Yeshafat b'no Tachtov. Yeshafat took over control of the Malchus after Asa, following Asa. Vayischazek al Yisrael, and he strengthened his power over the entire Yisrael. Notice it says al Yisrael, not just over Yehuda. This was one of the unique things about Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat had enormous influence over the entire Klal Yisrael. His lifetime spanned three of the kings of Yisrael, and he, we'll see later on, he also was related to Achav. He was married to Achav's, I forgot, that'll be the next parak, we'll see the details of his relationship. So there was a family relationship, and there was much influence. He was viewed as the senior advisor to the young kings of the Malchus of Yisrael. Pasuk Beis. Vayitein chayil b'chol orei Yehuda, and he influenced, he planted, vayitein, he gave over chayil strength b'chol orei Yehuda ha'betzuros, in all of the fortified cities of Yehuda. But how did he advance his power? By doing the following. Next words of the pasuk explain the first few words. Vayitein nitzivim be'eretz Yehuda. He appointed leaders, princes, leaders over the land of Yehuda, over Ephraim. Now here is the chiddush. Not only in the area of Yehuda, which is the malchus of Yehuda, but also over area Ephraim, he also had influence. He had the ability to appoint leaders, princes, governors in the cities of Ephraim, which was the domain of the Malchus of Yisrael. Ashalochad also aviv, which his father also conquered. Vayhi Hashem im Yehoshaphat. Hashem was the Yehoshaphat, ki halach b'derech David aviv, because he went in the ways of his father. Hari shaynim. So here are some key words Rashi elaborates very much, because he went in the derech David aviv hari shaynim. V'lo darash la'ba'olim. He did not seek out the avodah zar ba'al, but he went in the ways of David his father. Now here is a mysterious word. Why are we referring to the first ways of his father, or great-grandfather, David? So right now, just for the moment, before we see the Rashi, very simply, because David, at the end of his life, made some tragic mistakes. Namely, he married Bathsheba. The way he took Bathsheba, we all know, was not so simple. And number two, the Satan incited him to count Klal Yisrael, which brought upon them a Magef. That was a result of Chet. And that's why here it says that Yehoshaphat was careful not to repeat any of the sins of David. Only one of the ways David's early days before David committed any sins. We'll see a lot more in Rashi soon. Pasuk Dalet, ki leloke aviv darash. He sought out the God of his father. Uvim mitzvosav holach. He went in the mitzvosav lo kemaseh Yisrael. He did not follow in the ways of Yisrael, worshipping Avodah Zarah. In Don Basel, he did not go in that way. Pasuk Hey, Vayochin Hashem es hamablocha b'yodu. Hashem established the kingdom in his hands. Vayitneu kol Yehuda b'nichol le'Yehoshaphat, and the people had great respect for him. This is an amazing feat. An amazing feat that his popularity was all the way 100%. He was very successful. They liked him. And to how do we know they liked him? They gave him gifts. What?
It says in Yehuda that he was popular.
In Yehuda, he did not have full control over Yisrael, even though he did have influence. He did establish Nitzivim, but there was another king. There was Achav. He was fighting a battle against Achav. Achav was a Rasha. Okay,
right.
There were other kings, so he did not have the full ability to the degree where they can actually send him gifts,
In other words, only in certain sectors.
Correct. Only in the sector of his homeland. In the Malchus. The Malchus was still divided. We can't forget that. Even though Asa had the opportunity to bring everyone under his authority, but he failed. And the Malchus was still divided. 10 Shvatim were in the hands of Achav. And at this point in time, they were doing terrible averos, as we're going to see in the next parak. They did terrible things, and he only had limited control of the Malchus of Yisrael. But among the Malchus of Yehuda, he was successful. They delivered gifts to Yehoshaphat. He had an enormous amount of wealth and honor. Pasuk Zvav, Vayigbal Libo B'Darchi Hashem, his heart was exalted. It's a very beautiful expression. His heart was proud. Gval Lev, it's an unusual expression. And first thing you say, you don't normally have this expression. The only expression, Vayigbal Libo, is a negative. It's Gaiva. It's Gaiva, which normally comes with downfall. Here, it's what we call a very dangerous term, Gaiva de Kedusha. Okay, this is like it's a dangerous.
Could the word mean uplifted?
Yeah, he was uplifted, but it's more than just being uplifted. Vayigba. Vayigba has it as an expression which connotes a gaiva, a little bit too much. But in this context, it appears that it was proper. Every generation is a response to the previous generation. So sometimes when there's you find Talmidei Chachamim, there are periods of time when we look and we wonder, wow, how is it that they're able to conduct themselves with such gaiva de kedusha? It wouldn't go off well in our times. And the answer is, you have to put everything in perspective. Every generation is always a response to a previous generation. When there is a zilzal in the honor of Torah, then the next leaders feel, in order to take away that zilzal, there has to go to the other extreme of a gaiva de kedusha, and then the next generation doesn't like it because we are already established. Now it's time to focus on anava, humility. So it appears that this was proper, being that he was a response to Ossa. Ossa was weak. Ossa, it was a tzaddik. We can't say it was not a tzaddik. It says Vayasa Yoshe Tabini Hashem, but there was a certain weakness in his ability to go to the next level, to take Klal Yisrael to the next level, bring Mashiach, and to unify the Malchus of Yisrael, and to have the koyach to go to war against Aram. There were problems, and here it appears that Yehoshaphat is coming to rectify that problem with this thing called gaiva de kedusha. I'm not mistaken; this expression does not appear anywhere else. That's not what I've seen. Maybe I saw this somewhere. It's very unique. The combination Hashem. The oid Yehuda. He also succeeded in removing the bamos and the Hashem from Yehuda, not from Yisrael, but from Yehuda. They were removed. People stopped offering korbanos and the bamos, and they stopped bowing down to these trees that were used for avodah zarah. Okay, let's see some of the mitzvahs in Rashi pasuk Zayin pasuk Aleph. Yischazek osa tachbulos leischazek bimelucha. He did techniques. He had a strategy. He had plans. He didn't just sit around and do nothing. He did his shtadlus. He did things in order to establish his malchus. Pasuk Gimel, Harishanim. Now these are some important words. The pasuk says that he went in the ways of David his father, Harishanim. Harishanim is coming to exclude, but not the acharonim. What do we mean? Shleichato bohem. That David did not sin. Aval biyamim ho acharonim chato. But David, at the end of his life, sinned. Where did he sin? Bidvar Uriah, with regard to Bathsheba. Uriah Hachitihim took his wife illegitimately, took his wife in a way that was not proper. Uvamasha Mona as Yisrael. The second thing was he counted Klal Yisrael at the end of his life, which brought about a Magefa. The very end of Shmuel ends with the Magefa. Okay, Veloy Kimase Yisrael, Heim Bine Yud Hashvatim, Shechotu Ba'avodes Chacham. He did not go in their ways, he did not worship Avodah Zarah like the ten Shvatim. Pasuk Vav, Vayig Ba'aliba Bedarke Hashem, Rotze Loimar. What does this mean? Even though he had Guelph, and normally the cycle is Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat. That's the tragic cycle. Nevertheless, the money and the kavod did not cause him to become corrupt. The wealth and the honor was nothing relative to the service to serving Hashem. Pasik, next words good. So also he succeeded in removing the bumble. So Tzulema lo soif kol davar shubi atz mecholach darke Hashem. Not only was he himself righteous, this is in contrast to other kings, which we mentioned in the past, that there was always a difference between the king and the people. Sometimes the kings were tzaddikim, but the hamoinam were wicked. Sometimes the king was a rasha, and the hamoinam were tzaddikim. Here was a very unique generation, very special generation. That's why there's so much of Sefer Divrei Hayamim is devoted. But we have, I think, four parakim devoted to the time of Yehoshaphat, whereas in Sefer Melachim, it's just very little. We don't really focus on Yehoshaphat. He's just mentioned in passing, a few psukim, and that's it. I think here, there are a total of 101 psukim. 101 psukim devoted to Yehoshaphat. A disproportionate amount of time and space is given to Yehoshaphat relative to all the other kings. And especially when you contrast it with Malachim, with very little, it shows that Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were writing this Sefer as a motivational Sefer for the people living in their time to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they told them, focus on Yehoshaphat. You'll find in the Kufa of Yehoshaphat a lot to learn for our times, to rebuild the Bayis Hamikdash. So we have to go through very carefully, very slowly, to see the significance in his actions. Indeed, the Oid Hay Sirat Samalisav Kodavak Shuhubat Mahalakdarki Hashem El Afhu Machriach Lizulasa. He forced his righteousness upon the Hamainam. They also had to stop worshipping idols, Asherah, and they also had to stop bringing Karbanos and Bamos Lashem because it was forbidden. Lisarov. Okay, that's in the next part. Let's see the Rashi. So Rashi is a long Rashi, Pasuk Gimel tells B'dach David of Harishonim. So Rashi elaborates what does it mean over here in David's first way. So Lo Yecho Acharaynim Sheposhal, same thing as the Mitzvah Sheposhal B'maisa Basheva V'gam Heisus Oisso Satulum Nesas Yisrael. The two mistakes was he married Basheva in a way that was not proper. Number two, he counted Klal Yisrael and he brought upon the Magefa. The Iker. And Rashi says, this is the Iker, this is the main interpretation of the Pasuk. However, if you want a little drush, you want a little machshava, a little medrash, I'll give you another spin on the Pasuk. The Yesh Mefarshim Rishanim Rosh L'Shlomo Urchavam, that referring Rishanim refers to the beginning of, not when we say David, we don't just mean David. We mean the Malchus of David that's going to be L'Netzach. So at this point in time, we're up to the fifth king. Who are the kings? David, Shlomo, Rechavam, and then comes Avia, and now Asa, and now is Yehoshaphat. So if you go look at all of these kings, these six kings, let's focus on David, and let's focus on Shlomo, and let's focus on Rechavam. But more than that, let's only focus on the beginning of their tkufa. What do we mean? Let's see, Rashi explains, V'yesh Mefarshim. Rishanim Roish L'Shlomo, the beginning of Shlomo Rechavam. Shlomo only was a tzaddik, according to Rashi, in the beginning of his malchus. Because what happened after 6 years, four years into his malchus, he married Bas Paro, and it was all downhill from there. After he married Bas Paro had a big influence upon him, and he built a temple for Avodah Zarah, and he was married to her for 36 years, so only the first 4 years. Rechavam, and as well as Rechavam, only the beginning of his malchus was good, but shortly after he became Melech, Rechavam turned sour, and that's why Hashem sent Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, to conquer Yerushalayim. Shlomo, Noshav, it says in the Pasuk, Noshav, he too, Levavo, he turned his heart, the Achris Yamav, in the end of his life. Ubana, how do we know that Shlomo heart was turned, because Ubana Bama Luchamosh. I'm not pronouncing that correctly. He built Obama Luchamosh, the name of Avodah Zarah, which was the abomination of Moab. Ulamolech Shikus Pnam. He also built another Bama, another temple in honor. He didn't build it himself, but he tolerated it. People built it, and he did not protest. How could he not protest? Because his heart was swayed, he didn't want to get involved. Ulamolach Shikutz Bnei Amon. Or Rechavam, what else? They live only in the early ways of Shlom. What about Rechavam? Or Rechavam Ksevayhi Kehechin Malchusa Rechavam Uche Chaz Koso. After Rechavam establishes Malchus, remember he was afraid. The first 3 years, Rechavam was a tzaddik. Because Rechavam was terrified of Yeravam ben Nevat. He could have easily been overthrown. So he was very scared, and part of that fear forced him to serve Hashem and not commit any averos to anger Hashem. After 3 years, when his Malchus was firmly established, and he built fortified cities, he felt, Al Derech HaTeva, I am now safe, I no longer have to fear Hashem, and he took a bad turn. Ozav Esteras Hashem V'loika Aviv. Okay, period. So therefore, these are the only three kings that were tzaddikim. We have David, and we have Shlomo, the first 4 years, and the first 3 years of Rechavam. Not like Avia, not like Asa. So that's what it means, Rishonim. We're coming to exclude Avia and Asa, which according to this interpretation is very frightening. They were no good from the very beginning. Now that's very difficult to understand, because also the pasuk says the first 10 years was a complete tzaddik. According to this interpretation, what he seems to be saying is it's true that also was a very big tzaddik, but there was still a weakness even in those first 10 years. Unlike Rechavam and Shlomo, there was nothing wrong. There was no defect whatsoever in the beginning of their malchus. That's
maybe, maybe it's
you're saying there's a personal righteousness. I don't know. He's saying something very interesting. Okay, let's listen to the words. V'loy ka'av, if not like his father also, shakasav ba'ob imlochim, v'lo haya libo shalim im Hashem alokav. His heart was incomplete with Hashem. It's very. It says here by also that he v'loy. So Av refers to Aviyah. I'm sorry, Kalo ke Aviyo, not ke Aviv. Velo ke Aviyo. Ke Aviyo, not like Aviyo. Aviyah was his grandfather. Shakasa Belo Bimlachim Velohoya Libo Shamim Hashem Luka. Velo ke Asa. And also not like Asa. Yehoshaphat's father, Shalom Nishan Bahashem, who did not rely upon Hashem.
Right, that's why he lost the 36 years.
That was the weakness, that he didn't go to war against Aram. Ela kidavid David Aviv, Shalom Hayelo Ela Lev Echa La Aviv Sheba Shemayim. So this is what it means. So according to this interpretation of Yesh Mefarshim, he's going to all the kings and is telling us there was a defect in all the kings except for David. Darkei David, Aviv, Harishainim.
First father.
Only the first father. But see, it's not really clear what Rashi is saying, because he starts up by saying, go all the way back. Yesh Mefarshim, Rishainim, Roish, Lishlomo, Rechava. And he goes on to say that they were good in the beginning. And then at the end of Rashi, he says, he contradicts himself, Rashi, seemingly, Elo kidavid aviv, shlohoya lo elalev echad lo aviv sheba shemayim. So it's not clear. I don't have a...
We call it psychology, whatever, that usually if you... Like you said, Yishman Vayibar, you start off, you have 10 good years, and then, you know...
You go downhill.
You lax off.
But over here, the lax means that in your heart, you have assimilated it. You did it, okay, I have good years, I'll sit and learn Torah. Now, you know, David was the whole way.
Yeah, but...
The other ones may have been good in the beginning, but...
But they turned sour. They didn't integrate. They didn't learn from their good... Okay. All right, so this is an interpretation. According to the second interpretation, he seems to say that David was completely righteous. According to the first interpretation, when it says David Harishainim, means even David himself, there were problems. Only the first years of David. According to the second interpretation, it means David Lafuke Shlomo Rechavam Avia Asaf. Only David. David was complete his whole life. Oh, he made mistakes. So, no, everyone makes mistakes. That doesn't take away from David's greatness.
What year did the Bathsheba incident?
The Bathsheba towards the end.
Towards the end.
I think the point is Lev Echa, the other ones, they were Ozei Bathsheba.
Aha, so you're saying that David's sins were not in Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's a very, I didn't realize that. David was always, he made mistakes. But his mistakes did not affect his relationship with Hashem. He served Hashem. He made Yetzirah, Bathsheba. That was a problem. He counted Klal Yisrael, but he never deviated. He never worshipped idols. David never went away. Whereas all of the other kings, they were influenced by Avodah Zarah. Shlomo clearly. Rechavam, we're trying to also. Rechavam Avia and. Also to some degree. So that's the same way Rashi is saying in the second interpretation. So let's recap. According to, it says here, David Harishainim. They went in the ways of David, the word, again, of the Pasuk are, Bedarkei David Aviv Harishainim. Is the word Harishainim referring to David himself? David's early years, Lafuke, to exclude David's later years? Or are we saying that David is the Rishainim? Lafuke, all of David's descendants, Shlomo, Rechavam, Aviah, and also all of them were influenced by Avodah Zorah, whereas David was Lev Echad L'Avinu L'Shem Hashemayim. So two different ways to learn Pshat in this Pasuk. Okay, let's go further. Then we have Pasuk, next words of Rashi. V'lo Dorash L'Bolim, he did not seek out the Bolim. K'may say Yisrael, like Tinnin, the Mitzvot is like the Yisrael, Yisrael Shebimitra B'yamav, Ki Achav Hoyim B'yamav, B'shavadis HaBolim, Hu V'Yisrael Shebimav, because we know that the king who reigned at the same time of Yehoshaphat was Achav. And Achav was the worst of the worst. Achav was horrible, was going to see the next parak, and therefore he will come to show he was not like Achav. Next, this was his gaiva. Gava libo, what was the gaiva? That he did not worship idols, that he only had lev echad la'aviv sheba shemayim, like David, according to Rashi's second interpretation. We have an example with regard to the Noshim Tzidkaniyos who participated in Chol Isha, Nidva, Slave, every woman who wanted to participate in the building of the Mishkan. So what did they do? They would make the Urias. And it says there a similar expression, not Bidarkei Hashem, but it says there, Nosa Liban, their heart lifted them up, a son of them, those women with Chochma. Their heart lifted them up with Chochma. Chochma is what brought their heart to a higher level. Here as well, what brought Yehoshaphat's heart up high, Vayigba Libo, it's the fact that he went Bedarkei Hashem. This is what elevated his heart. Okay, next. Now we come to the next section. Pasik Zayin. Now he's going to send messengers throughout Klal Yisrael. What exactly? The Shnash Shalosh L'Malchum, in the third year of his Melech Shalosh L'Sar L'Ben Chayil, he sent L'Sarav. He sent out his officers. Who are his officers? So Rashi has two interpretations of the word Leven Chayil. Rashi's preferred interpretation is that this is the name of a person. Ben Chayil is a very unusual name. Who Yahweh knows and calls Ben Chayil. That's his name. He sent out Ben Chayil, and he sent out Ule Ovadia, another person, Viliz Charya, Vilin Sanel, Ule Michoyahu, Lelamed Ba'or Yehuda. He appointed these people to be Rasha Yeshiva. He sent them out to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. He did not allow people just to, he didn't trust them, they'll sit and learn themselves. Fascinating insight to his thinking that he felt people need to learn, and he established kollelim, he established centers for higher education, and he appointed these people to be in charge to make sure that people are studying and learning Torah. The Imam Halim, who assisted them, a whole long list of Levim, Shemayahu, Unisanyahu, Uzevadyahu, Va'asoel, Ushemi Ramos, or the Ksiv is Ushemi Ramos, the Hoinasan, Va'adoniyahu, V'toviyah. Then it says here, V'tov Adoniyah. It seems to be the one that's a name. It seems those two words together is the name of one person. He had two names. V'tov Adoniyah, Halavim. All of these people were Levim. We're repeating the word, even though it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, Ches V'imam Halavim. We're repeating again that all of these people mentioned here were Levim, V'imahem. And with these people were Elishama, V'ihoiram, HaKoyhanim. They were the assistants. So we have a long list of people who were the assistants to the main Rasha Yeshiva in charge of making sure people learn. Now what did they do? Pasuk Ches, V'ilamdu V'yehuda V'imahem. They taught Torah. They taught people V'yehuda, V'imahem. And with them, they all had in their possession libraries. Oitzer HaChochma. Everyone had Oitzer HaChochma to distribute to the people. V'imahem Sefer Taras Hashem. V'yasobu b'cholor Yehuda. V'yilamdu ba'am. And they made their rounds. This was the custom of the ancient. They reinstituted the custom of the ancient Nevi'im. Shmuel. U'v'shuvosoy haramah. What will Chazal tell us about Shmuel? Shmuel, a circuit judge, who would make his rounds. He went out to the people to inspire them. Really, this idea, really, where does it come from? It comes from this week's parasha. Someone actually told me this morning after the evening. What's saying this week's parasha? How do we look at a gadol? Today's generation, or gadol, we used to talk about a person. Who's a gadol hadar? What would you say? You say a big Rashiva. He has to be at least 90 years old, according to the newspapers. Have a very white beard, be 90 years old, and you have to line up. If you can get, you have a line to get a bracha, that makes you a gadol hadar. Is that the real? No one's chas v'shalom, not chas v'shalom, say anything. Of course, these are the gedolei Yisrael. But what's a real? What is the Torah's definition of a gadol? So this week's parasha, we have a relatively young man. His name was Moshe. He was 80 years old, but in those days, 80 was like 25, right? In those days, if he lived 120 years old, he was really more like 25 years old. Vayihi, what? Doesn't say, unless the movie, I don't know what they show in the Ten Commandments. What? What does he have?
A dark beard.
I didn't notice that in the movie. Okay.
You watching your
I have to. What?
You watch your brother paid Pharaoh.
Okay. Vayihi bayamim. Let me read you the parash shlishi. Vayihi bayam ohem. Vayigdal Moshe. What does that mean? It means that Moshe became the Gadol Hadar. Right? A Gadol. Gadol Hadar. He also the Gadolim pictures. He made it to the major leagues. He was on the Gadolim picture cards. What made him qualify as a Gadol? Vayetze el Echav. He went out. He did not sit in his Beis Medrash and wait for the world to come to him. He went out. Vayetze el Echav. Vayar. Vayar b'siv lo yisam. That's the title of a Gadol in the Torah. To go out and to participate b'mishtatef in the tzaron shel the pain of Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what Yehoshaphat is doing here. He's not just sitting home in his palace and he's going to learn Torah and they're going to build Beis HaMikdash and he's going to have faith that Klal Yisrael, they're going to come 3 times a year or l'regel and everything is good and fine. He was proactive. He was proactive. This was, you know, I know it's not active. The activism, it's a different connotation, where you're going, you're fighting against the enemy, but he was proactive in making sure that Klal Yisrael, they are with the program. It's one of my favorite expressions. One of Menahel once said to me, we were talking about a certain thing, he said, the Talmud is not with the program. He's not with the program. He wanted to make sure that Klal Yisrael did not come to that point where they're not with the program, and that's what he did. This is unique to Yehoshaphat the first time. He sent out a whole group of people to make sure that Klal Yisrael learning Torah. Pasuk Tes again, Vayelamdu b'Yehuda v'Yimoyim Sefer Torah Hashem v'Vayosobu, they made their rounds b'chol Ore Yehuda Vayelamdu b'Am. An amazing, amazing thing was done at this point in time. And what was the result? Okay, this very much everyone is talking about the draft. Everyone is very nervous about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Vayihi pachad Hashem al kol mamluchos huarotzos. And at this point in time, there was terror. All of the enemies of Klal Yisrael melted. They were terrified of, doesn't say this anywhere. The whole history of Klal Yisrael, Kimat, does not use such a powerful expression. That it was a pachad Hashem al kol mamluchos huarotzos asher suyos Yehuda. V'loy nilchamu im Yehoshaphat. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue to manufacture missiles, nuclear weapons to fight Klal Yisrael. There was a pachad. Why? What was the pasuk before this? And not only that, let's go further. Not only that, they sent gifts. Umin haplishtim mivim l'hoshafat mincha v'chasef from the plishtim. They sent the plishtim, who the arch enemies of Klal Yisrael, always a thorn in our side of the whole history. They delivered l'hoshafat mincha v'chasef masa. They carried on their shoulders heavy packages of silver. Dam ho'ar v'im. This Aravia, this nation of Arabia, they also, these people from the Nevi'im Lo Tzon, they brought him sheep, the Elam and Ram, Shivas Alofim, Ushva Meos, 7,700. The number 7 is always, you told me there, the number 7 is always very significant when it comes to Goyim. When the Goyim come to bring Korbanos gifts, when Bilam, he made the Mizbeach, for Mizbeach in order to curse Klal Yisrael, everything was in sets of 7. By the Goyim, they always focus on the number 7 in order to
on the quantitative
a number of 7. Shivas Alafim, Shvameos, Usi Yashim, and goats. Shivas Alafim, Shvameos, also 7,700. It was a symbolic. It wasn't just a gift. It wasn't just a gift. Obviously, since giving 7,700, it wasn't just a gift in volume and number. It was symbolic. Basically, L'chora, I'm assuming that by Goyim, the most they can relate is Teva. Teva is 7 days. Chodesh Baruch Hu. 7 days. So when you give 7, 7, you recognize that the entire world belongs to you, Klal Yisrael. Hashem created the world for your purpose, and the world is captured in the number 7. And therefore, we give you the number 7. You're above the world. You're 8. Klal Yisrael is V'yom Hashmiyat Seres Tiyalochem. For Klal Yisrael, there's a number 8. But for the Umos Olam, 7 is the highest they can go, and they recognize that, and they brought these gifts.
I don't understand. pasuk before says the Jews are learning Torah, and all of a sudden the Goyim are getting older.
Exactly. Look at Rashi. So exactly, that's the point I want to make. Just let's jump to the Rashi. We're going to jump ahead. Rashi pasuk yud, the most amazing Rashi in the whole statement of Divrei Hayamim. What does it say? Vayhi pachar Hashem al kol mamluchos haratzos bizchus shalom doy Torah.
I still don't understand what. Would the Goyim get all nervous about
it? It's supernatural. It's supernatural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts pachad. The Baruch Hu, what did it say in the Baruch Hu? Ame Aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yaru Mimek. Why? Why are they afraid? It's something, Yira Shemayim is something that you can't touch. It's supernatural. A person is a true Yira Shemayim. His look instills fear upon the people. And that's what it has. They were learning Torah. Yehoshaphat, he sent out people, he sent out a major contingent of Talmidei Chachamim to make sure Klal Yisrael learns Torah. He was successful. And what was the result? The result was the Umos Ha'olam were Molei Pachat. That's what it says clearly in these two psukim, and that's what Rashi says. B'zuchus lim vodato. I'm not trying to make any political statements because I'm not saying that b'zman hazeh.
What? What happens as a consequence? Were they aware that?
Were they aware? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They were. They were learning Torah lishma for the sake of learning. They were obviously the learning that they did. You can't compare the learning today. Today, you know, person, you can. I'm not trying to make any political statements. Go to the arm, not go to the arm, because. I mean, we have to learn Torah, obviously, but is our learning on the level where we're deserving that the world will fear us? We're dealing with very holy people. We're dealing during time. Observance. We're dealing with the time of the Nevi'im. And obviously, the learning of the Nevi'im in this Tkufa was a very holy experience. And it brought, just without lifting up any weapons, it instilled fear upon the entire world. It's an amazing set of psukim. It was an amazing idea. It was a novel idea of his time, and when he accomplished the most amazing things in his malchus. Yeah.
It says here they didn't make yeshivas. They went out to the people.
Right, right.
They went out to the field. They taught him trumas and maizes.
Well, no, it says vayalamdu. It says learning vayalamdu vami. They taught the people vayalamdu. It says imoyim sefer Torah Hashem vayasobu. Okay, so you're saying that they taught him to be observant, to do the mitzvot. It wasn't just learning Torah. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, b'schus shalom de Torah. It doesn't say in the schus of doing the mitzvot. Rashi does not say they were observant. Until now, they were nichshol in Meiser, in Shabbos, in Kashrus. So now they were observant Jews. They observed Shabbos, they observed the mitzvot, they kept kosher, they tires hamishpacha. That's not the way to feel. The whole approach, the sense that you get is, of course, that's a given. Of course, they were shomer Torah mitzvot, but they were more. They learned. They spent their free time learning Torah. Yeah.
More like kol or it's deo es Hashem.
Okay.
For at least an interval.
Yes. Yes. And that magically, supernaturally. Inspire the world. They were by pachad Hashem al kol mamluchos haratzos. It's an amazing thing to look at. Look, you study history. What happens when Klal Yisrael is studying Torah the way that they should?
There wasn't a yelled that didn't know Hilchos Tumim Torah, right?
No, that's later on. That's Chizkiyahu. That was much. It's later, much later on.
David used to.
David doesn't say that David sent out people that the whole Klal Yisrael should study Torah. That it doesn't say. It says David himself said, I should be spared from my enemies because I was busy the whole night. Paskening halacha, Nashim came to me, Damnida, my hands are dirty from the blood of a Nida. David was Isaac, but I don't think we find in the generation of David that David he sent out people to the cities that they should study Torah.
Program.
They learned by example, if they did. Here, Yehoshaphat was unique. He was proactive. He didn't just sit, learn Torah, and serve as a model. He made sure that other people also learned Torah. There was accountability. Learning Torah, there were exams. There was accountability. Dirshu. That's the whole theme of Dirshu is accountability in Talmud Torah, taking exams. So this is what. Was what Yehoshaphat accomplished in his time.
But even though he accomplished that, the Pasuk says that he built himself an army. He He started off.
Okay, let's see. Let's see the army. The army, that's true. Okay, that's right. The army was an army as well. All right, I told you, I'm not trying to make any political statements. Obviously, this is the issue of the generation. This is an extremely sensitive issue. It's coming now to a climax. You're following the news, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's like really, it's never been so much tension, such a point, where it is today. And you can bring Raya's. The Arias and Chazal. Rav Meir is going to give a whole shiur on this on Thursday. Correct? He's going to give a whole shiur on this. Yeah.
He didn't say don't go to the army. He wrote a sefer for the guys in the army.
How to conduct themselves. I'm not trying to make... I'm just bringing out the point what it says here in the Pesukim. How it applies today... Tough question.
I don't think you can compare.
The Gedolei Yisrael on both sides of the coin today, how far you should go in Hishtarlus and... Okay, so I'm not knowledgeable in these things. I'm just trying to learn the Pesukim, see what it says here. Let's see over here some of the Rashis. Rashi, Pasuk, the Metzudos first, Pasuk Zayin, Lissarav, Es Sarav. He sent out his officers, who the first one on the list is a person called Leben Chayil. El Ben Chayil, Vuhu Shem Adam. That was his name. What a nice name. My name is Ben Chayil. My name is Soldier. What's your name, Soldier? Soldier. That's my name. Lelamed lehachricham al halimud ki hakoyhanim v'halim lomdum, to force the people to study Torah, because that's what a Kohen Levi does. They teach Torah. Tes v'imohem sefer v'imohem hevi sefer Torah Hashem v'chesef masa kesef harba asher masam rav. They carried upon their shoulders heavy bundles, loads of silver. Tzon hu kolul elim utyashim. Tzon includes he goats and sheep. First we give you the klal, we give you the general term, and then the pasuk goes on to the specifics and tells us in the category of tzon, there are two subcategories called elim and tiyoshim. V'yachazeh parat ad lamala. Okay, that's the next pasuk. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk zayin shalach l'sodav l'ben echel. So first he tells us what the mitzvah is, the first interpretation. Kach hayashimo. Period. V'yesh mefarshim shalach l'sarav. He sent out his officers, and now we are describing each one of his officers was a soldier, was a gibor, was an ishchayil. So it's in reference to all of the next people. Kol sar was a ben chayil. Rashi says, I do not like this interpretation, because if this was correct, there is an extra vav. After it says, he sent leven chayil, it says, ule ovadia. There should not be a vav before ovadia. There should be, the pasuk should read, shalach l'sarav leven chayil, ovadia. Ovadia was one of the people that was sent out. Who was the ben chayil? The fact that there is a vav, ule ovadia, indicates that this is the second in a list. And that would mean the first one in the list, his name was Ben Chayil. The Koshali in Cain, lo hoya loymar ella le'ovadia. Why did it say ule'ovadia? Ella mimasha omar ule'ovadia michlal. It implies that it's a list. This is number two. Who's number one? Le'ben Chayil, shame Adam, who he is the first one in the list. What did these people do? They taught them Torah. Le'lamed bar Yehuda Torah. They taught them Torah. Ule'horos, and to instruct. To give instruction, Bnei Yisrael, the Imohem among them, to Paskin Halacha, to decide Halacha. The Imohem, Min Halavim, who were among the Levim, who were the assistants. So it appears these people that he sent out were not the Levim. It doesn't say who they are. These were Talmidei Chacham. Talmidei Chacham did not necessarily have to come only from Shem Velevi. Talmidei Chacham, come, we know, came from Yisachar. It came from this. Yes, Yehuda shalach lefon of Goshna. Yehuda was the Rashiv in Goshen.
Right, but this was Yisrael.
But there were people who rise. But there were people who defected. We know that in
the
time of Asa.
All the Levim defected to Yehuda.
All of them defected. Right.
So they had a job.
The Levim defected was to teach. That was their main role. But here as well, when the pasuk tells us the leaders, it does not say that the leaders were Levim. You would expect who would be the top of the line in Rosh Yeshiva? It would be the Kohanim or the Levim. It doesn't say that. At first,
if you want to set up a yeshiva,
you need money.
Yeah,
you need millions
Yehuda,
of dollars.
You bring Levi to
you need the money. If you don't have money, derech eretz kadmol Torah, main kemach in Torah. So you send Yehuda first. I told you the joke last week. Why not Yosef? Yosef was also a big Talmud Chacham. In fact, Yosef was the Ben Zikun, and he had the true Messiah. He knew all the bris Torah. Right? He knew from the Zeta. He knew all the Reb Chaims. So why not Yosef? Because what did Yosef send back to Yaakov? Agolos. Why Agolos? That was the last sugya they learned. Learning the same sugya for 22 years. You can't be Rosh Hashiva if you're learning a sugya for 22 years. You have to learn, part of being a Rosh Hashiva, you have to accomplish. You have to move on. You can't just get stuck on one sugya. V'imohem min halavim shemayahu unesanyahu v'goymer. V'imohem elisha v'yehuda v'yohorem hakoyhanim ki al hakoyhanim v'halavim ulam el hoyros v'lusim k'chol asher yoyre haskem hakoyhanim halavim v'hasanim ha'olcho imohem. So we have over here the Kohanim Levim. So Rashi's coming, what about the first list? The list in Pasuk Zayin. Those with the Sarim. Who are the Sarim? Why did the Sarim go? Imayim, Lefi Shalo, Yimru, Espiem, Ulechicham. So I didn't remember what I just said. I didn't remember this. So Rashi here seems to be saying that the Sarim, the Ben Chaya, Ovadia, Zechariah, they were not Rashi Yeshiva, according to Rashi. That's what it seems. They were not Talmidei Chachamim. What were they? They were officers. They were people who had power. They were people who had the Torah. Okay, they were. Oh, it's still open. I can't even see.
So, yeah.
All right. So they were. You have to stand up. According to Rashi, the first list in Pasuk Zayin is referring to the Sarim who were there to put people, to whip people into shape. To whip you into shape, if you fail the exam, you get a punishment. The Kohanim, they were the Rebbeim, they just gave the Shiurim. But the ones that would whip people into shape, they will achricham, to force them, lishmoya lohem, to make sure they come to the Shiurim, the lishmor, lasois, kimitzvas, hashevtim, dugmas, we find in parish, hashevtim, v'shoitrim, titilcha, shevtim, lishbaites ha'am, v'shoitrim, lachricham, what a shevet is to issue, give the judgment, and the shoiter is the policeman to enforce the law. Lasset Sivi Hashevtim. Pasuk Yud Vayipachad Hashem Al Kol Mamluchos Haratzos Bezuchus Shalom De Torah. They send gifts. Pasuk Yud Aleph Kesef Masa Masa Shal Kesef Dugma Hoyu Nisu Oseichem Amusos Masa. That you're carrying loads. Amusos means heavy bundles of Masa. Masa means burdens of gifts. So you see the same word Masa is used in reference to carrying loads of gifts. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis tells us, Vayhi Yoshafat Hoylech Vigodel Ad Lobola. Yoshafat was extremely successful. He grew. He became greater and greater. He continuously grew. Ad Lobola. Vayivin Yehuda Bironios. He built palaces. The Ari Miskinos and storage cities. Pasuk Yud Gimel Umalocha Rabba Hoylo Biari Yehuda. Public works. He had people work and build projects. The Anshei Melchama Giborichal B'Yishlamin, he had soldiers, he had people, he had warriors, Giborichal in Yerushalayim. Yudal, now we have a long list. The Elef, Ikudo, Sam, Leves, Avosehem. And here are their numbers. We're now going to the Ralbag, tells us, why are we telling us their numbers? We want to show you how that in such a short period of time he went. How he grew. If we go back only not that long ago in the time of Rechavam, the Claudius, they only had 400,000 soldiers. What?
Rabbi says
Be'avi. In time of Avi, they went to war against Yisrael. And they did go to war. In the time of Rechav, they did not go to war. They listened to the Navi not to go to war. But in the time of Avi, they went to war. And Avi had 400,000 soldiers. And the Melech Yeravim had 800,000 soldiers. Double. And the 400,000 soldiers conquered the 800,000. 500,000 were killed. But they only had 400,000. Here, it's not that much later. It's only a few years later. Avi, then came Asa. Asa and now is Yehoshaphat. It's not that many years later. Yeah, we're going to see now they had what?
Yeah,
20 years. Avi was king only for 3 years, and he was also was king also was for 41 years. Also was king for 41 years. So 41, we're dealing with 43 years, plus this is not the beginning of the Malchus Yashav. We have to assume it's going to be a couple of years later on. But it's still, let's say it's 50 years later. Let's assume a round number, it's about 50 years later. But you wouldn't expect that in 50 years you would go from a population of 400,000 to a population of soldiers of over a million. It was doubled. It was doubled very quickly. The Aleph, the Kuda, some Levesa, some. So here we go. I'm going to divide Yehuda into three different groups. Yehuda, Sarei Alafim, the princes of the thousands. First we give them their names, was Adna, Hasar, Vima Gibor Chayil. With him there were soldiers, Shlosh Meos Olaf, 300,000. The Al Yehuda, who was his assistant? This was Yehochanan, Hasar, Vimo, Mosayim Ushmoinim Olaf, 280,000. The Al Yehuda, who was the third assistant? Amasya ben Zichri, Hamisnadev Lashem. He was known to give large donations. His derech, the Mitzvah says, was to give donations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he was a philanthropist. Vimo, Mosayim Elef, he had 200,000 Gibor Chayil. So you have about 900, was it not? Comes out to 880,000 soldiers. Umin bin Yamin, that was only from Yehuda. And Yehuda, I think the Mepharshim said that the reason why we have three different branches refers to Zerach, Peretz, and there's a third branch. There were three major families in Yehuda, and that's why we mention here the three different assistants, the three different branches. Umin bin Yamin, Gibor Chayil, El Yadav, Yimo, with him was special warriors, people who knew how to deal with weapons. Noshke keshes, so this is an unusual expression. Keshes means a bow and arrow. Right. But here it's a different type of bow and arrow. It's called noshke. Noshke is a weapon. Neshek is a weapon. So it seems that these bows weren't just ordinary bows and arrows. These bows had other uses. They had other very elaborate bows that were used actually as spears and swords. It served multiple functions. Multiple function type of bow, an automatic machine bow. Noshke keshes umogain. They also carried shields. Masayim elef, 200,000. That takes up over the top. That takes us over a million. V'al yado yeho zavod v'imo meyushman, another 180,000 elef chalutet zavod who went into war. Elu hamisharsim samelach. These people they served the king. Bilvad asher nasa melach liyari hamivsam b'chol Yehuda. All of these people, these, I guess, approximately 1.2 million people, they served the king. Besides all of the people, there were other soldiers all over the place that were serving in all the various fortified cities in the city of Yehuda. So we see over here that he was extremely successful. He had an army of 1.2 million people, plus other people in a very short period of time. This tells about his greatness. Okay, there's a few, let's see the Mitzvot, it's an interesting Rashi. Let's see the Mitzvot's Pasik Ad Lamala, Pasik Yud Beis. He was successful, he was Godel. Holech v'godel ad l'mola, ad asher nisremom l'malo. U'moloch rabba, yomer ala ha'omnim, ma'chulfim oisei meleches chorash. Different, they were craftsmen, carpenters, v'choshev, and people who knew how to plan, people that think, planners, administrators, all different types of workers who changed their function, did different things in his administration. What were their names? We have their names. Al Yodo, the assistant, Chamisnadev, Darko, Hoyo, Lisnadev, Lashem, Nidavos, Mubos, this person, Ben Zichri, Amasi Ben Zichri, he was a person who's generous. Gibor Chayil, Ratzolaymar, Kol Echad Mehem Hoya Gibor Chayil. Notice it did not say that when it came to Avia, they were not Gibor Chayil. The enemy, not the enemy, but the people of Yisrael, they were the Gibor Chayil. The 400,000 soldiers of Avia were just ordinary soldiers. Here it's only 50 years later, and he has at his disposal 1.2 million people who are Gibor Chayil. It shows that he very quickly succeeded.
Don't we use the expression Gibor Chayil for Talmidei
Chachamim? That's Drush. You want to say, so you want to.
It doesn't mean he had a standing army of a million.
Why not? I'll bet. Shot, why not?
If you had a standing army of a million, then you had to have at least the support people who were supplying.
That's right.
Another million.
So?
Talking that you had just Yehuda.
10 million people.
With children, everything. You had 4 million people.
Could be. That could very well be. Why not?
That's the reality. But it could be that
reserve.
It was a, you know, like Switzerland, or like they did. They, all the people, when it was time of Muhammad, you put down your plow or whatever it was.
You go to war. You go to war.
Since they were all
Talmidei Chachamim,
because they sent the Kahanim Levim to learn with Am Yisrael. So the schus of the learning.
Absolutely, the schus of learning helped in everything. That comes to David. So we learned about David. David HaMelech, he had at his disposal the giborim, different sets of giborim. There certainly Chazal is very clear when it says they were giborim, they were both. They were the most outstanding talmidei chachamim the world has ever seen, and they also were extremely powerful people. It went hand in hand. So here also there must be some. There must be some something along those lines. But if you want to learn them still in the face value, means he had it as...
Because the wars they won were not because of the Berachal.
They were because of... They were logical. Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay.
The Berachal is telling you...
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, now we come to just one little Rashi. Short Rashi is to finish up this parak. Pasuk says, Pasuk Yibbeis, Vayihi, it's an interesting Rashi. So Rashi tells us there are only three people in the entire Tanakh about whom it says were Holeich v'Gadel. Who are they? Shloisha Shnemar b'Kolosh Nazeh Yitzchak Shmuel and Yehoshaphat. Aval, the other one they think about, in the Megillah of Mordechai, Aval Moshe, David, Mordechai, Nem Mohem v'Gadel. It does not say the same expression v'gadol. V'gadol means they're growing. V'gadol means they're continuously growing. There it says they are gadol. Now why? So he explains on a very direct shot. Aval Yitzchak, Shmuel, Yehoshaphat. These three people, Yitzchak. So it's a fascinating thing that these three people are set. There are many sets of Ishei HaTanach, and these three go together. Yitzchak, Shmuel, and
Yehoshaphat. What is the
pasuk
for Yitzchak?
So let's see what it says. What is the pasuk of where? Who?
That Yitzchak is one.
Vayiholech v'gadel al ki gadal ma'od. It's in Parshas. By the Plishtim. After Avimelech abducted Rivka and he gave her back, he said, "Okay, you can live here." And he dug the wells. Vayitzchak holech v'gadel ad ki gadal me'ot. Vayikhanu bo haplishtim. They were jealous. So Yitzchak, Shmuel, Yehoshaphat, Kasubhem v'gadel, She'ein nochel lemar v'gadol. In the context, you can't say the word v'gadol. Why not? So he explains. The Shmuel Ksivit says, Vayigdal hana. What's the word that says by Shmuel? Vayigdal hana, the nar grew. Vayigdal hana Shmuel im Hashem. The reason why it says there vayigdal and not the word does not say what would be the correct word to say there? The Hanar Godol. The Hanar Godol. The Hanar Shmuel Godol. The alternative would have been the Hanar Shmuel Godol im Hashem. That's not proper. You don't go and equate yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not possible to say about Shmuel the Hanar Godol. The Hanar Shmuel Godol was great in Elohim. That seems to say that he's an equal to Hashem. He's great. He's great with Hashem. It has a bad connotation. He's great with Hashem. I'm an equal to you, Hashem. You're great. And I'm also great. That does not sound right. That's why we had no choice but to change the expression and to say the Chas v'Shalom loymar Godol im Hashem. That's not correct. And that's why you have no choice but to say that. Vayigdal hanar Shmuel im Hashem. He grew im Hashem. He's coming close to Hashem. V'chan k'meichein godal ad l'mala. Here as well, he grew ad l'mala. He grew, got greater and greater. L'chein l'hog l'omar godol. It's not proper to say godol v'chein b'yitz. Okay, there's more to this which I want to research. We'll leave this for next time. The significance of these three. But lean there, I'll try to look into this more. The significance of these three, to really to understand the deeper meaning of this Rashi. Let's just finish up the Rashi's quickly, and then we'll stop. Bironos. He built in his kufa Bironos palaces. Megizras Bira. It comes from the word Bira. Megdolim towers. Gedolim lechoizek for strength. Very miskenos. Storage cities. V'al Yodo, his assistants. Etzla Dudma of Chelkas Yoav Al Yodoi. The portion of Yoav was by his side. Hamisnadim Hashem Dudma. Hamisnadim Ba'am Baruch Hashem. Those that are generous plus Hashem. The examples of where these words are used elsewhere. Okay, so this concludes the parak. We have to come back next time to these three people, Shmuel, Yitzchak, and Yehoshaphat, the set, and why the other people are excluded from this set. Okay, we'll stop here.